Hey folks, this is JR here at The Well, one of the pastors here. Just wanted to give you a heads up that this week's podcast is going to play out a little bit differently. We are focusing on the Lord's Prayer, and what we decided to do in our weekend services was to, instead of just talking about the Lord's Prayer, we really felt like it was going to be important for us to actually spend some time praying through that prayer and rediscovering some of the meaning of that really masterpiece of a prayer given to us by Jesus. And so what you're about to hear is a short sermon, sort of a short teaching and explanation on what the Lord's Prayer is and why we're doing what we're doing and what we're about to do. And then you'll hear from five people in our church who helped us out by breaking down the sermon into different sections. And then each one of those sections, they spend time describing the themes and the meaning behind that section. They allow some time for some silent prayer, and then they close that section out with a prayer based on a psalm that connects with the meaning and the themes of that section of the Lord's Prayer. And so what we'd encourage you to do is that as you listen to this, when the time is given for the congregation to pray in the service, we'd encourage you to just pray right along with us as you listen to this podcast. Additionally, the music that we worshiped to this last week was really helpful and I think really encouraging as we walked our way through the Lord's Prayer. And so if you're interested in looking at this week's set list and where it kind of fit in with what we did with the rest of the service, we've included that in the description of this episode, along with the script from those breakdowns of the Lord's Prayer. So we hope this is helpful. We hope you enjoy the podcast, and we hope you have a great week. Thanks. Bye. Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're here, that you joined us on a wet spring break morning. You made it out, especially whenever we lost an hour last night. It really shows dedication, commitment to show up today. This morning, our service, just so you have a little fair warning, our service is going to look a little bit differently than it normally does. So if you're visiting with us today, you'll have to come back again to kind of see what things normally look like. But it's going to be a good service. It's a sweet time. It went well in the first service, so you're in for a good time. So now, as we prepare to worship, would you stand with us as we prepare to read God's Word? Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Would you pray with me? God, we're grateful for today and for the gift of your word, and God, for being taught things like how to pray from your son and through these scriptures. Lord, I pray that this morning our hearts would be sort of rekindled with new meaning and new purpose for these words that many of us have said so many times. And Lord, that this would be a sweet time of communing together, of worshiping together, of praying together, and that we might encounter you and be forever changed. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, if you were with us last week, you know that we skipped over this part because a couple of the sections right before the Lord's Prayer and the section right after it fit so well together that we decided to talk about those together. But it also allowed us to leave the entire morning just to talk about the Lord's Prayer today. Now, if you're sort of upbringing, if you were raised in church, you might have been raised in a church similar to the ones that I grew up in, which was, they were kind of liturgical, and the Lord's Prayer was something that was said every day. In fact, not just a few times, not just 100 times, right, but maybe thousands of times you've said the Lord's Prayer, right? And whenever the human brain encounters something it's done thousands of times, sometimes it can start to play tricks on you, right? Especially whenever you're like a six-year-old boy, because when I was six, I learned through the Lord's Prayer a very fancy, very theological, very church kind of term that you may not have been familiar with, but don't worry about it, don't feel bad. I was a pretty advanced six-year-old. So if you don't know this theological term, I'm about to teach it to you, it's a term called frithinus. And if you don't know that term, you're about to learn it, frithinus. So whenever we read through that prayer, some of you may have noticed that there's an ending part that we didn't read, because that part doesn't come from Matthew chapter 6.
But the ending part sort of says, whenever you get to the end of it, that's where you learn for Thinus, okay? So I'll kind of walk you through. At the end of it says, you know, forgive us our debts, or if you might have been raised in the church that said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then comes that big theological word, for Thinus the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And I didn't know what for Thinus meant, but I knew it must be pretty cool because all the words that come after it are awesome, right? For Thinus, the kingdom and the power and the glory, right? So whatever for Thinus was, I wanted more of it as a six-year-old. And, right? But that actually sort of leads into one of the hard things about being a Christian and doing something a few thousand times. See, humans have this like habit engine somewhere deep in our brain that tries to get it to where the things that we do all the time, that we can do them without thinking about them so that we can pay attention to other stuff, right? The problem is, if you've done something so many times that you can do it without thinking about it, then you certainly can do it without meaning it, right? And that's exactly what Jesus warns again in verses 7 and 8, that you not pray in such a way that you're heaping up empty phrases, that you're saying a bunch of words in hopes that the Lord will hear you, that you're saying things just because it's what you're supposed to be doing. That's how I learned the word for Thinus, right? Because I didn't need to know what it meant or even that it was a word or not. I just needed to say the right sounds. I needed to be able to pronounce that prayer phonetically, say it at the right times when everyone else was saying it, and then sit down when I was supposed to say it, because that is what I thought God was asking of me for that part of church, right? And what Jesus is warning against is this practice that was apparently common among the Gentiles, which was that you just say a bunch of words. Right? And just by saying a bunch of words, maybe you've heard other people say, maybe certain holy, righteous kind of words, that gets God's attention, or in the Gentiles' case, gets the God's attention, and then you get some pleasure or some favor from the Lord as a result of that. There's a warning against that in Jesus. In fact, the Lord's Prayer is given. Look at how this is sort of coupled together. Do not pray like that, where you heap up empty phrases. Instead, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer is given precisely to be an antidote to that kind of prayer. Isn't that crazy? We grow up praying this thing that somehow sort of robs it of meaning because we say it so many times. But it's actually the thing given to us to be this meaningful, potent prayer that fights against the idea that you pray things you're not paying attention to. So this morning, we're going to try to walk our way through the prayer in a way that helps us to sort of regain and reclaim some of that meaning so that hopefully the next time you pray this prayer, it's not something that's sort of lost on you. It's not something that you just sort of do out of habit, but instead you walk through this with some real genuine meaning, right? So we'll do that here in just a second. And like I said, the service is going to be a little bit different. Here in a moment, we're going to have some people who are going to come up, and they're going to... We're going to be going through worship, and then somebody's going to come up, and they're going to read us to a part of that prayer. Like, just sort of break it up into sections. They'll read us part of that prayer. They'll tell us a little bit about what that prayer means, and then we'll spend some time in silent prayer together. Then at the end of that time, they'll get up, and they'll pray for us, just to close out that time, with a prayer from one of the Psalms that connects to the meaning of that section of the Lord's Prayer. Does that kind of make sense? So we'll stop. We'll pray together. We'll hear about this passage, and then they'll pray for us, and then we'll sing together, sort of connected. And so we'll sort of meditate, we'll pray our way through, hopefully getting a fullness of meaning for each of these sections. Now, the last thing that I want to, in just a couple of minutes, want to talk about is verses 14 and 15, okay? Because sometimes that can kind of catch us up, and I just want to mention a couple of things there. Verses 14 and 15 are actually connected to verse 12. Verse 12 says, forgive us our debts, as we've also forgiven our debtors. Verses 14 and 15 say, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, here's the thing. That can set up this idea for us, because the way it translates out and the way we read it in English, it just looks like it's sort of a transactional thing. If you do this, then you get this, right? It's just the way the language plays out, right? But whenever we come across things in the scriptures, right, that seem to fly in the face of everything else we know about the scriptures and everything else we know about God, not what we've decided about God, but what we've learned from the scriptures about God, then we let the scriptures speak into how we interpret a single passage. My rule is, whenever I come to a passage of scripture that seems to say something contrary to what other passages of scripture say, I have to tell myself I'm the one who's wrong, not the scripture, right? So I have to figure out what is it that the rest of the scripture would say to help me understand this passage. And here's what I'd say here. Again, don't have time, because we've got some other things to do this morning. Don't have time to really get into this, but here's what I'd say. There is no doubt this passage is saying that there's a connection between the heart of someone who receives forgiveness from God and the heart of someone who's able to offer forgiveness. But here's the deal. The gospel says that I am a sinner in desperate need of a savior, and that the only way I could be saved is by this unmerited free gift of God given to me. That I didn't deserve it, that I didn't earn it, but that out of God's love, out of his desire to fulfill his will, to be the promise keeper that he is, that he was given to that to me, not because I've earned it, not because I've done something, not because I've done enough things, not because I've been good enough, but because he's given to me as a free gift. So for a holy God to forgive me, a broken sinner who deserved only death and nothing better, I've got to understand that at a level that it just makes sense. It's only natural. It is just fruit on the vine that I would forgive people around me. Because hear me, if I don't understand grace as the unmerited forgiveness that it truly is, then I might believe that what you've done is something far worse than anything I've ever done. So that I, a broken person, can't even offer you forgiveness, even though I, a broken person, have received forgiveness from one who is holy. Does that make sense? This is a description of the kind of heart that has not been sufficiently changed to fully understand the gospel. This is not giving us a description of a transaction. It's giving us the description of someone who has not seen transformation. Does that make sense? That's kind of where this is headed. Now, like I said, we're going to make our way through this service. We're going to, the band's going to come back up, and they're going to start leading us in worship after I pray here in just a second, and then we're going to pray our way through the sections of the Lord's Prayer. So during this time, I encourage you, just sit into this. We don't have anywhere to go. We're going to get you out of here pretty close to on time. So just sit into this and pray with us as we walk our way through this prayer that's supposed to have sweet and precious meaning to us, given to us by our Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning we would recognize not just what we're supposed to do, but who you are. That we would see from the words of this prayer your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord, the way you provide for us. God, that we would spend time praising you for the ways in which you are definitely worthy of our praise. God, that our understanding and our gratitude for how you provide for us would be deepened, that our dependence on you would be renewed, that our expectation, our hope, and our trust that you can protect us and deliver us would feel fresh to us again. Lord, I pray that this would be a sweet time that would knit us together as we pray together and worship together and read your word together. Lord, in all these things, we are grateful for who you are and what you've done, the good news that has transformed us. Lord, I pray that this morning we wouldn't take that transformation for granted. We wouldn't take this time for granted. But that we'd seek after you, find you, and be forever changed. Lord, we love you. We trust you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first words of this prayer rightly call us to praise God simply for who he is. This isn't about what he's done or what he's given us. These opening words instruct us to praise him first for his nature and his character. The word used for Father is Abba, a word young children would have used in the comfort of their homes. The word tells us our relationship with God should be marked by intimacy and affection. But we are also reminded that he is our Father in heaven. God the Father is sovereign over all creation, and his majesty is beyond compare. Finally, the prayer reminds us that the name of God is to be hallowed. As the angels declare in Isaiah chapter 6, God is holy, holy, holy. Let's now spend some time in prayer, praising God for who he is.
Thank you.
from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts, kings of earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of earth, young men and women together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Amen.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In praying these words, we declare our desire to see God's rule and his will on full display. In the world around us that often seems lost in chaos, we long to see God's sovereign hand bring all things into order. In our everyday lives, where we are confronted by our inability to control anything, we long to know that God remains in control. In our own hearts, where our desires for today and our plans for tomorrow are focused on what we want, we submit ourselves to his will. Now let's pray that we would see more of God's kingdom on display here on earth, beginning with our submission to his will in our own lives. Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare in his temple. All cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Everything we need is given to us by God. Even simple gifts like the air that we breathe and the food that we eat is a gift from God. By asking us to give us our daily bread, we're not just trusting him to provide for us today. We're also expressing our dependence on him for the future. Many of us in this room never have to worry about where our next meal comes from. But we should never let our hearts become entitled to what we have just because God has been so faithful to provide for us each day. In trusting God for our daily bread, we deepen our dependence on him for the small things as well as the big things, all while planting the seeds of gratitude for all things. Now we'll spend some time in prayer, expressing our dependence on God for the everyday essentials of life. Remember also to use this time to express your gratitude for his faithfulness to you. from Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen.
This next part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And we are sinners in need of forgiveness." This is a foundational reality of all of God's people, and it is the cry of our heart. It's the painful truth that leads to our plea of our need for a Savior. It is the root of our response to the gospel, and it is in praying these words that we express our continued rebellion and sin and our trust in the grace afforded to us in the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Similarly, we commit ourselves to a Christ-like forgiveness of those who have sinned against us, and we are not called simply to be consumers of grace, but rather ambassadors of grace to the world around us. So let's spend this time in prayer thinking about this verse of "forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors," confessing the patterns of sin in our lives and the state of our heart that led us to those patterns of sin. Take this time to thank God for his forgiveness and ask him to help you forgive those who have hurt or wronged you. From Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
This morning, we're going to take communion together here at a common table. So it's a little bit different than you may have done it in the past few weeks. So whenever I welcome you to the table, we'll come down row by row, starting at the front. And when it's your time, you'll stand from your seat, you'll go to one of these two center aisles, and you'll come down forward where you'll be served by people on either side of this table. Once you've taken from the bread and broken a piece off and dipped it into the cup and taken from the meal, you'll exit out to the outside, you'll go all the way to the back, and then you'll return to your seat. Now, on the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed with my blood, shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Would those who are serving come forward? every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you declare the good news of our risen King until his return. Brothers and sisters, you are welcome at the table.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just as we depend on God for the air we breathe and the food we eat, we also depend on Him for our protection and our sanctification. With these words, we confess that we are still vulnerable to temptation, and we confess our continued need for God's help. What's more, we declare that our will alone is not sufficient for us to pursue obedience. We place our trust and our hope in the Lord to deliver us as we seek after His will for our lives and purity in our hearts. In our final time of silent prayer together, ask God for His protection from areas of temptation in your life and declare your hope and your trust that He alone can deliver you. From Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
You know that last part, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You don't find it in Matthew chapter 6, but someone at some point added it because it was a good way to sort of end it. It felt like a fitting end. So you don't find it in Matthew chapter 6, which is a good chance that someone adapted it from 1 Chronicles 29. So I'm just going to read this to us as our sending out. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. The riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, God, our God, and praise your glorious name. Go in peace.